Welcome to Girl Power History, episode 4. Hello.
Yes. Hello. I can't believe we're already on 4.
I know. We're doing this.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That was adorable.
And learning about incredible women throughout our history, making history.
How are you?
Oh, I am a little sleepy, but I have a banger of a story for you tonight, so I'm pretty excited. I woke up pretty early today, as in the alarm went off at 3 a.m. to drive my husband to work so he can go to training for 2 months, well, a month, come back for a day, and then go again to training, so... So essentially 2 months, but yeah, so he is gone, and, I'm trying to keep myself extremely busy while he's gone. So that's good. But yeah, it's just been a long day. It was a busy work day, but it was great. You know, this I was looking forward to all day. So, and I have a glass of wine because it's like 8:30 at night. So
I have tea because it's 10:30. For me.
I'm going to drink a little bit of wine and talk about some radioactivity tonight. That's
some
what I'm doing.
Some sciencing.
Yes. Well, I opened this bottle of wine last night and it's so good. So good. So I didn't want to waste it.
So Matt and I
had a little wine. I know. I was like, I can't waste it. So I'm gonna drink with our audience. Thanks, Mom, for watching. I mean, listening.
And the 4 other people.
No, we have some amazing people that are following our Instagram page and listening to our episodes. And I just really appreciate everybody for our support. This has been amazing. And it's been so much fun for us to do this. So,
yeah, it's been awesome. And I think it's being received really well. So we're doing okay.
Yeah, I did have, I had 2 people say, they're like, it's like, we're just listening to you guys. Like, we're not supposed to be there listening to you talk. And I was like people that are like really close to us that like know who we are. They're like, but we're just like there listening to you. So it's like, we're there with you. And I was like, well, that's what we want it to be. We want you to be there with us.
Please.
Please hang out with us. Join us during these adventures of history.
Do we have any announcements? I don't think so. Do we?
No. Well, email us at hello@girlpowerhistory.com. We want to hear from you. So to our incredible family and friends that are listening, I'm going to guilt trip you into sending us something. And then everybody else who's listening that I can't actually guilt trip you into doing that, you know, drop a hi, drop what you're doing. If there's a business that you are empowered to.
If you're holding a baby or a cat, you can drop them, whatever you feel like. follow us on all of our socials. They're all at Girl Power History. And don't forget that our sources are always in our show description. So anything that we feel like we need to link, and especially where we all get our information from. And then also, if you guys could rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, that would really help us out.
Oh, they can do that? I don't ever use Apple. I'm a Spotify, like that's my soul entertainment, I feel like. So.
I know, but we have to do all the stuff.
Okay. Apple? Is that a child or a cat?
That's my cat. I'm sorry.
Shh. No, it's she okay. Just, What's
she
your...
loves history.
She loves history. What cat is that one?
Lilu. She's a big
Hello,
fan.
Lilu. Lilu, don't forget to subscribe.
I'll tell her to do it later.
Thank you. It could really help us out.
She has a flip.
On Apple.
She has a flip phone, so I don't know. We'll have to figure that out.
All right.
Are you ready? Are you ready to get into it?
I am ready. I need to preference that if I mispronounce anything or if my science vocabulary is not up to your standards, I am sorry. I'm doing the best I can. So this story is awesome. So last week, Alexa, if you missed it, go back and listen to it before you listen to this one. So do a hard halt, go to episode 3, listen to Radium Girls. It's like a aftermath of what happens when there's like no restrictions into kind of my story and the understanding of how elements work. So we are going to be talking about the incredible Polish-French physicist, Marie Curie. Her history, I think, is a little unknown. I think what she accomplished, there's a ton of movies and a ton of information out there, but today we're going to get into a little bit more of kind of the nitty-gritty of her life. So she was born on November 7th, 1867 in Warsaw. During that time, it was Kingdom of Poland, but it was part of the Russian Empire. So there was a lot of territorial uprisings, fighting and wars with Russia and Poland, and it continues throughout this story. And then Germany gets in there, and that's,
sounds like
all fun stuff. Yeah. So she was the fifth and the youngest child of well-known teachers in Poland. Her father taught himself mathematics and physics. He was a director of 2 Warsaw secondary schools for boys, but was fired by the Russian superiors for being pro-Polish.
Isn't he Polish? Are you just supposed to walk around and be like really self-deprecating? Like, I hate myself.
pretty much, he's okay. So pretty much that was essentially what they were supposed to be doing. So prior to this, they put their properties and fortunes, Marie's family put their properties and fortunes into the Polish uprising during 1863 to 1865. So they ended up losing everything. So he was actually at a decent job. He became a director of these 2 schools. And then since he was part of supporting the Polish uprising, they knew who he was. They knew he was pro-Polish. So they pretty much fired him for being Polish, essentially. During that time, they were increasing policies of Germanization. I can't say those words.
It's because they're dumb and they just keep making up all these stupid things.
So during this time, they were increasing policies that German needed to be the language in Europe. And then Russia was also putting their policies in, which was essentially saying that you have to give up your country's religion, policies, everything, and go pro-Russia. So both of these countries were collapsing on Poland and essentially trying to dictate what they were doing and not be Polish.
Russia.
Yeah, seriously, like how confusing of a time as well. Like, what are you supposed to be doing? Not what you grew up to be doing. Like, you're not Polish anymore, apparently. So they lost everything. So they were, you know, really trying to get through financially. So the father took like low paying jobs and her mother like opened their house to have people stay there for extra money. But her mother contracted typhus.
That's something you can contract.
What is that?
Typhus is an infectious disease caused by something characterized by a purple rash, headaches, fever, usually delirium, and historically a cause of high mortality during wars and famines.
Also like a bacterial infection?
Spotted fever.
Okay, so her mother passed away from typhus. And she contracted this from someone that was renting space in their home. So sadly, she passed away. I know, right? And I feel like it's all because of the Russians firing her father. But anyways, I digress. So Marie struggled financially and worked very hard to save enough money to further her education. Her father, when he got fired, he actually brought all of their chemistry equipment home. So his daughters could like learn chemistry at home, which I think is fascinating.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty much their entire family is just brilliant human beings. So she ended up trying to save money. She was working as a tutor and living with her father. This is when it gets like really cool. So she was unable to go directly to Paris to further her education, which is pretty much the only place in Europe that they were allowing women to go to get a higher education during this time. So women were like really oppressed with education. So she was attending a secret like society college or university. It was called Warsaw Flying University, which was also known as Floating University. This was not your typical university. It was an underground educational enterprise that operated from 1885 to 1905. During this time, Warsaw was being controlled by the Russian Empire, and it was very difficult for any Polish natives to obtain a higher education. It was also illegal for any college university to teach Polish language or Polish history. Also religion, it had to be, you couldn't learn anything about being a Catholic during this time. So, which I also find kind of fascinating. So it was illegal, and they were teaching this in this underground, you know, college or university. So
underground Catholicism.
Right. Sick.
Whoa, bro.
So they did this thing where there was like seven professors, and they would switch to different houses, and they would change the schedule. If you like look up how the education that they were talking about, it was amazing. And they also did not discriminate with women. They let all women in there. For 20 years, they had over 5,000 students that attended, which I just think is amazing. So from there, she eventually saved up enough money. Her father got a better job and was able to pay for some of her education. So she ended up moving with her sister to Paris, where she earned a degree in physics and then a second degree in mathematics because she is brilliant. And she ended up later getting her PhD, but she's just incredible. Like, how do you have that many degrees? That's just amazing. Also like fighting. Yeah. Yeah.
And then like going from a country where like, oh no, you can't learn here because you have lady parts. I don't know, whatever their like reasoning was that I never understand anyway. But then like being able to like find a different country and then getting two master's degrees and a PhD. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then later, I mean, we will find out what she does later, but it just incredible.
She worked at the Gap?
Yeah, she did. How'd you know?
She becomes a manager.
No, a hostess at the best restaurant in town. So she conquers these two degrees, and then she is introduced to Pierre Curie because she is looking for her own laboratory space so she can do her own experiments and conduct her own work. He had his own laboratory at that time. It wasn't a big space, but he allowed her to work in a portion of it. They ended up developing feelings for each other. Yes, the bond of developing scientific experiments together.
Hot lab summer.
Yeah, seriously. It was, they did that, and they also went, like, bike riding together. Those were their things. So that's exciting. So he, as in Pierre, eventually proposed marriage, but at first, Marie did not accept because she was still planning to go back to her native land, Poland.
Poland.
Poland. So she wanted to go back home. She wanted to be with her family. So during her summer break in 1894, she returned to Warsaw. She visited her family, and she was still under an, this is what like all the articles said, that she was still under an illusion that she could choose to work in her field in Poland. But she wanted to be a professor. And they essentially told her that they would never hire a woman professor. And that it just, it was never going to happen there. So
you can't teach in front of a class. Yeah. Your uterus will fall out.
Like, seriously. So she ended up getting a letter from Pierre to, or have her come back to Paris to pursue her PhD. And so she ended up going back to Paris. And this is where he was actually going to school and finishing his PhD because, you know, they're both super geniuses. And this is one of his, like, quote, he called Marie his biggest discovery, which I think is super cute because he was so in love with her. Isn't that so cute?
That's adorable.
Yes. They're nerdy and in love. So they ended up getting married in July 1895. I find it kind of funny and in a powerful way. She did not wear white. She wore what she wore when she was, like, working in the lab. She was like, I'm just getting married.
Which was not a white lab coat?
No, it was, like, a blue dress.
Oh, all right. Like, I'm into it.
So there was, like, nothing, like, you know, nothing crazy romantic about them getting married. But she was just, they're very happy about being married.
She's so, like, can we do this on my lunch break? I gotta get back to the lab.
Seriously, that's essentially what it was, because they wanted to continue to work and they ended up loving working together. So they get married. Then comes the really exciting part in science. This is pretty much where it's like the birth of particle physics. So pretty much everyone at this time is like fighting to discover a new element or a new particle or some sort of ray. It's really exciting because, like, there's so much going on in science. There was, like, three discoveries that they made that Marie was working on during the same time that other scientists were working on. One, she had all of this, you know, scientific data, but she didn't get it done in time. And it was, like, he wrote the first paper of it for, like, 2 months early or something. So
basically, it's, like, he tweeted it first.
That's a really good, essentially, that is it. Like, exactly. So their first Nobel Prize, her first Nobel Prize, she worked with her husband, who didn't do a ton on this discovery, but she kind of had to include him because they wouldn't take a woman seriously at that time. So they piggybacked on a discovery from Henri Becquerel, which I'm probably going to say that wrong multiple times. And Alexa, you can just keep correcting me. So that'll be good. So he discovered that uranium salts emitted rays. So essentially, there were different rays coming off it because he did like a blackout lighting of his lab. And there was like a green, what did he call it? Like spooky. What was the guy that we were talking about? Spooky rays?
Spooky rays.
So he didn't actually call it spooky rays.
Credit to Hank Green on Crash Course.
We're trying to make sure we understand all of this, but I think spooky rays is like the coolest way to say it. So they were green and they were spooky and he didn't know what they were because there was no science behind it. So he discovered that there was some other energy source that was, you know, spontaneously arising from the uranium itself. So Curie furthered that education and coined the term radioactivity pretty much. So from that, she determined that atoms were not stable and that they can give off rays. And this, you know, completely furthered her education with this. And they did a ton of discovery and a ton of different scientific experiments, which led to her and her husband and Henri Becquerel. So they get a Nobel Prize, but at first, guess who wasn't in it? Who did all the work? Guess who isn't nominated?
Was it Pierre? No, it was the woman.
They have the same. It was the woman.
That's surprising. That's really surprising.
I know. I knew you'd be surprised. So Pierre, since he's an incredible husband and he is extremely supportive of his wife, writes a formal complaint and says that she needs to be included in the Nobel Prize. Apparently, when you receive a Nobel Prize, you have to do a speech to accept the Nobel Prize. I did not know this, but they ended up receiving the Nobel Prize in 1903, but it took them quite a while to get there because Pierre wasn't feeling well. He was the one who ended up giving the speech to accept the Nobel Prize, and she was not allowed to attend and not allowed to speak.
What?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
Fine, we'll write your name on it, but you can't come here.
Yeah. So she ended up, like, I think she sat outside. But the cool thing is, she is the first woman to ever receive a Nobel Prize. So, I mean that's,
on she paper, thought it. But they were dicks about it.
I mean, but it was still her discovery, and we're still talking about her.
It's still amazing. If you just hear, oh yeah, Marie Curie was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, and then realize that she had to sit outside during the acceptance. Holy smokes. That's ridiculous.
And she had to piggyback, and she had to piggyback on two other men to essentially get hers.
I'm sorry, you're going to need at least one or two penises on this thing.
We're going to need some big dick energy to cover that vagina.
This just doesn't have enough BDE for a Nobel Prize.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. But, I mean, she's such a badass. She just, like, she doesn't... The thing about her, though, like, you'll find out later, she literally gives... Like, she doesn't care about getting Nobel Prizes. She doesn't care about anything but her science and her family. And I just find that fascinating. Like, she doesn't care about anything else. And it's cool. So during this time, they have conceived two children. So she is, in 1904, she gives birth to her second daughter. So during this whole time, they are growing a family. They're madly in love with each other. And they're also developing incredible leaps and bounds for science. So sadly, in 1906, Pierre was killed in a road accident, which he was struck by a horse-drawn vehicle. This part, if you saw the movie, it actually happened in real life, but the movie played it out. He sneezed and he was being affected by radioactivity in his body and
overexposure. Really?
And then he tripped and fell, and this horse thing knocked his head off, and not off, but pretty much off. So it was really Hollywooded up, you know? So, you know, he could have just tripped and fell. It couldn't have been from all the exposure yet.
I read that it was raining and he fell. His head got knocked off in the movie?
Not half of it was gone.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense because I read skull fracture and I was just like, that'd be one hell of a skull fracture.
Yeah, it was gross. The noise and the stuff in the movie.
Oh, okay.
That was the only, but I mean it did happen though, and it was in the movie. I just feel like they made it very Hollywood. But who knows? I wasn't there. It could have happened. He could have been, he was, you know, fighting illnesses before, so it could have worsened, and who knows. So he sadly passed away because he lost half his skull.
Which is something that you need.
Yeah, especially him. I feel like, you know, some people, maybe not, but him, 100%.
He'd just be no personality.
Do you remember, this is a sidetrack here, there was a... In Abnormal Psych, we learned about this guy who he got a nail through his frontal cortex. Do you remember that? And then he lived for 10 more years with that thing in his head, but he his personality completely changed. And they were like, that's weird. We should learn about that.
He comes up in so many classes for
Abnormal Psych.
Phineas Gage. With Phineas Gage, it destroyed most of his left frontal lobe.
sadly for Pierre, it wasn't just his frontal cortex. It was pretty much most of his skull.
It was a good chunk.
Yes. So that was traumatic. But, you know, Marie had her science and her two daughters. So I feel like she obviously was probably very devastated because they were very in love, but she continued to have an extremely successful career and break a ton of boundaries. So on May 13th, 1906, the University of Paris dedicated a chair that has been created for her late husband and offered it to Marie. So her husband was supposed to be a professor at the University of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up offering it to Marie
because her
husband passed away.
That's nice of them.
So, yeah. So she accepted it. And she was hoping to create a world-class laboratory as a tribute to her husband. She was the first woman to become a professor at the University of Paris, which also, here's another first for her. Yeah. Like, that's incredible. So that was in 1906. She continued to make leaps and bounds for science. She was a incredible professor. She was like nominated for everything she did in science. It's like the cool thing about her, it wasn't just physics. She also received Nobel Prizes in mathematics, which she ended up receiving a total of 4 Nobel Prizes, 2 in physics and 2 in mathematics.
That's
and
crazy.
She is the only woman that has 4 Nobel Prizes and the only woman that has Nobel Prizes in 2 different categories.
Dang.
So, mic drop there. As she's continuing her career, things get a little dicey. So she is a widow, right? So they're in 1911, she gets involved in a year-long affair with a physicist, Paul Langevin. I'm going to go with that. A former student of her husband's. He is a married man, but estranged from his wife. Like, they don't live with each other anymore. They're, like, not cohabitating. There's not anything going on. So he doesn't even, like, talk to his wife. But they're still married. So, So this results in a scandal, which eventually leads to her having to leave the university and pretty much is like being told she's a homewrecker. There's like scandals. There's like people like threatening her life. There's like angry mobs out of her house. They're seeking her daughters. Like,
Gets
off the rails like, for her having an affair. But it's not even an affair. She's not the one having the affair. He's the one having the affair. Let's just get that shit straight real
quick. Can I ask one question, though? But what was she wearing?
Oh, my God. Probably that same blue coat that she wore to her wedding. So they're like, obviously, there's something wrong here.
Sultry devil woman in your lab coat.
Yes.
How dare you.
Big old brain. Yeah. So, yeah, they ended up having to leave. And like, she was at a conference in Belgium when this scandal broke out. And on her return, there was like an angry mob in front of her house. They had to leave and seek refuge at a friend's house. And it pretty much messed up her life for a good few years.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just because she was sleeping with someone, that is his fault.
Oh my God, there's a lovely crowd welcoming me home. Oh wait, they've got torches and pitchforks.
Like, what is wrong with people? Like, really? An angry mob for that?
We can do many episodes on that.
Seriously. So she pretty much ends up being like, screw people, and I'm just going to continue my science, continue being an incredible mother. So, side note, one of her daughters ends up getting a Nobel Prize later in her life as well. So like, this woman had her children with her and she was like teaching them everything she knew and like just creating these like incredible, independent, brilliant minded women. And she also had her daughter help her during World War I. So Curie recognized that wounded soldiers were best served instead of being operated upon by first having an x-ray. So seeing if their bones were broken instead of having to amputate their limbs, right? So they were just getting amputations for a broken arm. And instead of whatever you do to broken arms, putting a cast on it. I don't think they did that back then.
Oh, no, they just pretty much chopped everything off.
Yeah. So she was riding around and she created like the first ambulance or mobile, not the first ambulance. She created the first mobile x-ray machine. So she would like literally go on to like battlefields and x-ray these wounded soldiers to see if she could save their life. And she worked beside her 17-year-old daughter, and she did this from 1913 to 1915. So for like 2 years, they were doing this. I just think that's fascinating, though, because this is how much she didn't care about her Nobel Prizes. She wanted to take the gold from the Nobel Prizes and donate them to essentially donate the money to help saving soldiers and to help the war. Wow. So she went to the French National Bank. They refused to take the gold from the Nobel Prize. So she had to buy war bonds with her Nobel Prize money, knowing that she would never get that money back. So she received 4 Nobel Prizes, but I think she only has 2. Because there was 2 of them that she had at that time that went to war efforts.
Well, I mean, she still won 4. Oh, are you saying she has 2 trophies left?
Yes. Yes. Like obviously she doesn't have them anymore.
Yeah.
Yes. Does
she die at the end?
Oh, no, she's still well. Yeah. I mean, 18, when was she born? 1867. Yeah. To 2021. Thriving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, radiation actually doesn't kill you.
Oh.
Who knew? That is a joke. Please understand that was a joke. So essentially, she donated her life to science. She donated her life to helping people through war. She was on the path to use radiation to cure cancer. And that is still used today. Radiation therapy, still used. She was the one who was very vocal about using it for shrinking tumors and shrinking cancer cells, which I find fascinating because she was talking about that in the, you know, early 1900s, and they're still using that.
Or for treating Graves' disease or in your thyroid.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
I did that.
Oh, you did? Huh.
I'm going to make it. Because of my thyroid.
I don't know the rest of the song. I feel like I should know that song.
It's okay.
I would really sing with you. Okay, so then she eventually died. Yes, she died. She was only 66 years old. She died July 4th, 1934, which she didn't have as much radioactivity on her body as victims from our previous podcast. So they ended up testing her body for radioactivity, and it was much less than they thought it would be, which I find that fascinating. And they also think that a major attribute to how she died was from using the x-ray machine, which some articles say that, not all of them, but because there's no way of telling I don't think there's a way to tell.
But I will say that I know from like the little reading that I did about Marie Curie, she always wore protective equipment, you know, and
she did.
Took care of herself in that matter. You know, where if you think about like the radium girls and stuff, like there was nothing. So I think that's, you know, to show you that how horribly like they died, and you know she and eventually did die from you know essentially the same thing, but it was just different degrees due to the personal protection equipment.
Yes. And that brings me to an article that I wanted to read about how essentially she talked about how Americans were licking the paintbrushes and saying how when they tested in France, they were using cotton swabs. They were using protection. They weren't eating radium. And she also went on to say how it was like 4 years before she passed away, which your article or the Radium Girls essentially started in 1917. Is that right?
Yeah.
She was fighting for educating people that it you need protection gear to handle this. I mean, she died in 1934. She was doing tests on this in 1895. So she was handling it for a very long time. Those women, they handled it for 5 years and died.
Yeah.
You know, so just having that a little bit of protection, she ended up having a pretty full life. 66 is still young, but
for handling radium, I think that's pretty,
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty good. Something else about her, she donated pretty much all the money she made from any of the Nobel Prizes to family, friends, research, or helping victims of war. Incredibly giving person. So selfless, she gave her entire life to science and her family. And just incredibly brilliant woman. She is buried in Paris. She is, I think, one of two scientists buried in Pantheon in Paris. And she was the first, again, first woman to be placed there. And she ended up actually getting moved to that location in 1995. And that's where they discovered that her body wasn't fumed with radioactivity.
Interesting.
Something else that I find very interesting about her, during this time, Albert Einstein was alive, and they have a picture together at a Nobel Prize event with, because he won a Nobel Prize, but she's the only woman in this picture. And it just, there's like all men, and Albert Einstein's like two seats next to her. I just find that amazing, just timing wise, that there was just so much being discovered at that time. And there was just so much being brought to light. And science went so far, so fast during that time too.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I wanted to mention, there's a ton of books. There's a ton of movies. I will put a list on our podcast. One that is more so recent, came out in 19, or in, it's called Radioactivity. It is a movie. I think it's on Netflix.
Actually, I think it's Amazon Prime.
Is it Amazon Prime now? Okay. That was the movie that I essentially knew who she was, because I didn't really know who she was before, because I was a psych major. So I never was a super science focused person. So learning more about her history, just how incredible a woman she was too. So strong and powerful for that time period. So that's my story. That's what I got.
Well done. I loved it.
Thank you. That was a little out of my comfort zone for the scientific information, but I learned actually a lot today and yeah, this entire week.
I also feel like you rocked all the science terms.
No, oh, thank you. And if I didn't, let me know, everyone who's listening. And
send your angry emails too.
Send those to hello@girlpower.com.
Girlpowerhistory.com.
The show is saying the wrong one, Alexa. The angry messages we don't want. The nice corrective messages I will take.
All right, shall we talk about our girl crushes?
Why is that funny? It's a great term.
Mine is slightly sarcastic.
Oh, I don't understand why.
Well, okay, on this show, we, you know, do stories about women in history, good or bad. And so I'm going to bring that into our little end segment as well. And
okay,
I'd like to highlight the lady that caused the pileup on the Tour de France by holding a sign.
Oh my God. Did you hear about that?
Well done.
Did they find her?
Yes. They're not pressing charges, I just found out, though, which...
They're not.
I mean, it, you know, it's not like she maliciously made a sign and, you know, held it out in order to do that. But, I mean, you still did it. That was one heck of a pileup.
I didn't see it. I need to see it.
It was a little painful to watch.
Was it? You always watch those things and then you normally send them to me. You didn't send it to me.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I heard about it on the radio. They're like a European manhunt for the woman who property damage of Tour de France. And I was like, wait, what? And then they were just like talking about it, kind of like laughing. And I was like, oh, so this isn't real? And then they're like, they like commented like, no, like she did mess up a bunch of bikers. Which is sad. Like, that sucks.
I mean, 21 people with one sign. That was one heck of a sign.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I think she got on a plane right away, too. She was like, oh no. I'm out. I hope she didn't have the sign. Like, I hope that wasn't her personal item when she was getting on the plane.
Identify me. This is me.
Oh, that's not that sign. But anyway, so yeah, I'm calling that out.
I feel like now signs are going to be banned at Tour de France. Put your sign down! But they have, you know, days to recover, right? I mean, what are the rules for Tour de France? I don't even know.
I really have no idea. I know you have to be on a bike.
That's a good start. Yeah.
That's about it.
You know sports. Man, we should have another podcast about sports.
Call it... Balls and
Alexa's
stuff.
Knowledge on sports.
All right, you go.
Mine is hometown shout out to formerly Corey Cusack, but Corey Teresi. She is a fitness coach. I went to high school with her and I signed up for her 30 for 30 day challenge. She's turning 30 in like whatever before I signed up for it. So it's like 30 days till her 30th birthday. So I've been doing this workout and it has been kicking my butt. So I normally like to kind of just make up my workouts. And I realized that when I make them up, I like to do things that I like to do. Then these workouts are really, really hard. Like I hate lunges. I would rather do anything other than lunges. And there are so many freaking lunges in this thing. Like, I couldn't even walk today. So, shout out for putting me through hell. And thank you for kicking my ass. It's a great workout. She has, like, a bunch of videos online that you can do. You can sign up for classes. If you're in the Woodstock area, you can go and work out with her. She has, like, a full gym at her house, like on her property. It's like a giant place. So it's just really cool.
And that's in Woodstock, Illinois.
Illinois, as Alexa says, with an S. Put the S on it.
Because there's an S and it deserves to be heard.
I'm into it.
And so, where can you find her online?
At Corey Teresi, which is TERESI Fitness. And that's her Instagram and then her website as well. Yeah, it's nothing like outside the box. Like you're not doing anything crazy, right? Some of these fitness programs are just so over the top with what kind of like workouts you're doing. And this is really good for me to like get back into it. And even though I hate lunges, it's really great for me to like do them again. So
I've realized that I need to do straightforward workouts. There's like all the workouts on YouTube that are like, okay, now do side squat lunge bench presses. Like I can't do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then the cool thing about these like 30-day workouts is like once you do like an exercise, they're like somewhat integrated like later down. So you're like, oh yeah, I did that already. So you like know what you're doing, right? Yeah. I do like to make my own workouts, but sometimes you just get burnt. And that is my girl crush.
Great.
And we would love for everybody to write in so we can share your stories, any businesses you want to support. We really want to focus on women-owned businesses, any badass women out there we want to talk about. So if you have anybody you want to share it with us. Let's talk about them together.
Or if you want to talk about yourself, you can do that too.
Oh yeah, talk about yourself. We want to talk about you too. So, yeah, that sounds good to me. I want to talk about you.
I want to talk about you.
Awesome.
Let's get out of here.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go take a bubble bath. Ooh. Oh, everyone, if you're going to hear this podcast next week, so I hope you guys all had a fantastic 4th of July, and I hope you guys were all safe too. So,
and hashtag Free Britney.
Oh, hashtag Free Britney, for sure. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate your support.
Tune in next week, because history is her story.
Bye.
Thank you to our dear friends Carly and Dylan Peterson for creating our theme song and show music. You can follow their band Valentine on Spotify and on social media at @ValentineTheBand. Visit our show description for sources and episode links. Email us at hello@girlpowerhistory.com and follow us on all social media platforms @girlpowerhistory. Girl Power History.